Section 3. Tools for Building Confidence. There are many tools at your disposal that can be used to effectively counteract and control the emotion of fear. Learning to employ these tools on a regular basis will help you manage and control your fear of horses. I'm going to give you 8 specific tools that you can use to build a strong foundation of confidence. Tool number 1. Objective observation of your emotions. Learn to recognize the symptoms of fear so that you can take action to control the emotion. You want to learn to have what we call an out-of-body experience. In other words, learn to just step outside yourself and look down at yourself and recognize when the emotion is beginning to take over. By recognizing the beginnings of fear, you can use the rest of your tools to control it. Tool number 2 is your breathing. Breathing is the very first thing that triggers the flight or fight response. We need to learn to control our breathing with deep abdominal breathing. Take a deep breath in and out, and as you breathe in and out, think of filling a glass full of water. The water fills from the bottom up, expanding all the way down into the bottom of your stomach, and the glass empties from the top down, all the way to the bottom until the very last drop is out. So as you inhale deeply, filling your stomach all the way to the bottom, and then exhale, pushing the air out from the top all the way to the bottom. Learn to control your heart rate as you exhale. Focus on lowering and slowing your body down. By controlling your breathing, you can actually learn to control your heart rate and stop the fight or flight response dead in its tracks. I know if I can do it, you can do it too. Practice any opportunity you have to calm down your heart rate. For instance, let's say you get in a little traffic jam and somebody cuts you off and suddenly your fight or flight response is triggered. Take that opportunity to practice your abdominal breathing and slow down your heart rate and slow down your breathing. Anytime you get startled or have an emotional confrontation, it's a good time to practice your deep abdominal breathing and controlling your heart rate. By practicing it away from the horse, you can learn to control your breathing and control your heart rate when you're dealing with fear around horses. Tool number 3 is your eyes. You know, your eyes are truly the window to your soul. One of the very first things that happens with a fear episode is that your eyes lose their focus. In fact, usually you start looking down. And this affects your entire body language and freezes up your mind. If you can keep your eyes focused, looking around your environment and taking in information in your environment, I see a blue gate, I see a bird flying by, I see banners hanging on the fence. As long as my eyes are active and focused and taking in information, it will stop the process of my mind locking up in general anxiety. By keeping your eyes focused and taking in information, it will break the fear cycle and help you control the thoughts in your mind. Remember, keep your eyes active and focused. Tool number 4, develop acting skills. In the fear management clinics, we call this fake it until you make it. It's important that you learn to gain control of your body language. Remember, your mind, your body, and your spirit are all interconnected. If I can control my body, if I can control my breathing and my eyes and my posture, it will help me keep my mind and my spirit from falling into that cycle of fear. You know, physical bravado will really help, and even if you don't feel it, pretend it. Sometimes it helps people to adopt an attitude of, hey, give me more, I can take it. I can take whatever you dish out. That helps you maintain a stance of bravado, and that body language will help your mind and your spirit stay in control. Remember, never show your weakness on the outside. This is as much for you as it is for your horse. Tool number 5, mental control. You need to learn to control the thoughts in your mind and think positive. Don't succumb to the mind pollution that exists when we fall into general anxiety. What if this? What if that? Focus on your environment. Keep your eyes active and alert and taking in information. You might want to use some key words for yourself or a motto to coach yourself. Whenever you start feeling a little bit of fear, remember that motto. Repeat it over and over. Singing a song will really help control the thoughts in your mind. As you sing, it occupies your mind with the words and the melody of the song, and it has the added benefit of giving you a better sense of rhythm and cadence with the horse. Another great idea for exerting mental control is to play an internal video in your mind. First, you need to find a rider that you want to be just like. Identify somebody. It could be a national figure. It could be a friend, a spouse, your riding instructor, another trainer you've seen somewhere else. But pick out that person as somebody who you would like to ride just like them. And then study that person over and over again until you can play an internal video of that person in your mind. Study their mannerisms, the way they pat their horse, the way they mount, dismount, and try to be just like that person when you ride. Playing an internal video in your mind is an important training tool for athletes. Tool number 6 is your horsemanship ability level. You need to find an instructor and take lessons to improve your horsemanship ability. As you look for an instructor, keep in mind these 3 important things. 1. Make sure your instructor has your personal safety as the utmost priority, and make sure that they're qualified in some way to be teaching what they're teaching. Certification or some sort of recognition within the industry is important. 2, make sure your instructor is supportive of your goals. He or she should sit down with you on the very first lesson and find out what it is that you want to achieve from these lessons and what your goals are. Finally, make sure there's a good chemistry between you and your instructor. This should be someone that you look up to, enjoy spending time with, and feel comfortable around. You might consider taking some lessons on a schoolmaster, a horse that's highly trained, to help you get your skills in order before you tackle them on your own horse. Learn the principles of balanced riding and proper communication and control of the horse. There's tons of information about this on my website and again in my audio-video library. The principles of balanced riding include the balance position, which is riding with ear, shoulder, hip, and heel alignment, moving in rhythm with the horse so that the motion of the horse's body as he moves ripples through your body and you move in a synchronization with the horse. And you'll also need to learn to use the natural aids effectively. The natural aids are your seat, legs, and hands, and that is what helps you communicate and control the horse. There's things you can do off the horse to practice your riding skills, like a Pilates class, yoga, meditation. Many people have found benefit from hypnosis. Also, there's exercise classes you can do on the big exercise balls that will help you with your riding position. And finally, study horse behavior and learn how to interact appropriately with your horse. Again, there's lots of information on my website on this subject. Tool number 7 is to improve your safety practices. As I said before, every time I've been hurt around horses, it's from doing something really stupid. If you think back on any horse-related incidents that you've had, chances are you'll figure out a way that it could have been prevented by your own actions. Use the safest procedures that you can and always prepare for the worst-case scenario with horses. It may not happen, but you're far safer and less likely to get hurt if you're prepared. Along those lines, you should always wear an ASTM SEI approved equestrian helmet, properly fitted. You know, a great deal of the injuries and death caused from horses are related to head injuries, so do what you can to protect your head. You probably wouldn't think of getting in a car without fastening your seatbelt, so why would you climb up on a wild horse without putting a helmet on your head? Wear appropriate footwear, a boot with a smooth sole for riding and a heel. And also, when you're working with horses from the ground, you should be wearing a solid, sturdy shoe or boot to protect your feet. There's no question but that your foot is going to get stomped on at some time or another when you're around horses, so be prepared for that. There's other riding apparel that may help your riding, for instance, good riding pants and gloves. So make sure you're fully dressed and prepared for riding as best you can. Also, it's important to do equipment checks each and every time you get up on a horse. First, check the riding environment. Make sure it's safe, free of obstacles, good footing, and decent weather. Secondly, check your horse. Make sure he's sound and happy and responsive. Third, check your tack. Make sure it's in good repair, it's well fitted to the horse, all of the adjustments are as they should be. Check yourself. Make sure your helmet's on and fastened, you have appropriate footwear and apparel, and also that your emotions are in check. Finally, to improve your safety practices around horses, make sure you pick the company that you ride with wisely. Don't ride with a bunch of yahoos that are going to go out whooping and hollering and yelling and screaming and doing crazy things. Make sure the group that you ride with has agreed upon etiquette and knows the speed of the ride and the terrain that you're going to be covering. And make sure the horses that you ride with are all well behaved. Remember, horses tend to mirror the animals around them. So if your horse is around a horse that's being fractious and unruly, your horse may fall into the same behavior. The eighth tool in your bag of tricks is your horse. He's your partner in this whole deal. He, in fact, is a critical component of this equation. The age and training of your horse is very important. There's an old saying in horsemanship that says green plus green equals black and blue. I hope you haven't experienced this, but if you're a green rider riding a green horse, chances are that you have. You know, horses don't physically mature until they're about 7 years old, and it takes years and years to train a horse. And horses learn the wrong thing just as quickly as they learn the right things. Everywhere I go, I meet people that have made the mistake of getting a young or green horse. Sometimes this works out after a long and bumpy road, but more often than not, there's many problems along the way. So if you're already in the situation of having a horse that's too young or too green for you, consider getting a trainer to work through some of the issues that you're having, take lessons on a school horse to bring up your skill level at the same time, or consider getting a transition horse, an older horse, that can help you build confidence and build your skill level before you come back to the green horse. So finding a horse that is well-trained and has enough age on him to be experienced is really important. A young horse can be very well-trained, but that training can unravel very quickly if he does not have enough life experience. Seasoning is what we call the generalization of a horse's behavior. A seasoned horse is reliable, predictable, and solid in his training. This takes years. For myself, we only look at horses over the age of 13 to use in our program for school horses. Also, you need to consider the temperament of your horse. Is he hot-blooded or cold-blooded? Sensitive or insensitive? Know the differences between breeds and types of horses. Know where your horse fits into the pecking order of his herd. If he's real high up in the pecking order, he's a very dominant horse, and he might not do well with a rider that has a lack of confidence. If the horse is very low in the pecking order, he may be a nervous horse with a lack of confidence himself, and this horse also might not do real well with a fearful rider. So we want to match the temperament of the horse with the temperament of the rider. Reliability and soundness is very important in any horse. Sometimes as horses age and get a lot of good life experience, they also develop soundness issues. Don't trade one problem for another, so your ideal horse is going to have training and life experience and be very sound and comfortable. Make a list of the attributes of an ideal horse for you. List them in priority of importance, and then compare these attributes with the attributes of your horse. So how did your horse do on this test? Did he score well or did he score poorly? Take a look at this issue, and you may need to consider either finding a new horse or finding a temporary horse that's a transition partner to help you overcome your fear so that you can go back to the horse you have now if he's not appropriate for you. Employing all 8 of these tools that I've just listed will help you to counteract your fear and build confidence. Learn to look objectively at your emotions, use your breathing and your eyes to control the physical symptoms of fear, develop good acting skills, exert mental control, improve your horsemanship skill and safety practices, and make sure your horse is the right partner for you at this time. In the next section, armed with the knowledge and tools that now are at your disposal, we're going to make a plan to help you manage your fear.